morning, Cornerstone. We doing all right today? All right. I was thinking about worship. Like sometimes people call this a worship service, right? We come together to worship God. Sometimes we don't really think about what that means. So just want to remind you as I was thinking about worship. Worship is expressing love back to the God who loves me. It's not just singing a song. It's not just thinking a thought. It's expressing love back to the God who loves me. And so I want you to just kind of think about that thought as we begin and sing these couple of songs this morning. Would you rise to your feet?
Come behold, I'm and be all in the one. till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in
stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death.
And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of
Father, we are so amazed at your love for us. We want to respond to your love for us. So just let it soak in. Let it soak in how deeply you love us, God. Help us understand that a little bit better today as we open your words. We open the book of Ephesians again. God, there's so much good in there. And So take this time. Thank you for everyone who's come today. Thank you for those who are on live stream. And thank you for this church family that you're knitting together, you're building. You made a promise a long time ago. You said, I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. God, this is something that cannot fail. Your kingdom will not fail, and we're part of it. So, God, it's a sure thing. It is a sure thing. We stand on solid ground. Thank you for Jesus, our cornerstone. Give us stability and strength in him today. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, thank you for singing with us, for worshiping. Hopefully you're expressing love back to God for the love he's shown you. But we're going to take a minute and let the kids, third grade and below, go downstairs. And question of the day is this. What's one of your favorite comfort foods? Favorite comfort food. Share that with somebody near you, and we'll be back in a minute. All right. You know, one of my favorite parts of this service is this time when you guys are talking. Just hearing everybody talking and hugging and sharing and just all the volume, all the noise of you guys sharing with each other and connecting. You like to be with each other. Like, I like that. I like that. So it's good for me to hear you guys just engaging with each other. Favorite comfort foods. What do you got? What's one of your favorite comfort foods?
Fresh out of the oven bread.
Fresh out of the oven bread. French fries, ice cream, what?
PB&J,
okay.
Spaghetti.
All right, anything else? Nobody said mine. Chocolate chip cookies, man, right out of the oven. Right out of the oven. How many of you like chocolate chip cookies right out of the oven? Yeah, okay, several of you, all right. So I'm not gonna just show a picture. We're gonna share some comfort food right now. So. We got some of this, so I need another volunteer, one other volunteer to help me pass these things out. You can take the skin off the top. There's enough here. You can probably take one or two, and there might be some left over. We got a pile. Comfort food, right? So those things that you guys mentioned, ice cream, PB&J, would you say like they're at the level of, man, I love that food? I love that food. Pizza, spaghetti. There's a lot of, I got chocolate chip cookies, man, right out of the oven. Love those things. There's a lot of kind of cookies that I like, but man, that's one kind of love, right? I love that. I love the mountains. I love a good book. I love a clean house as much as I don't really contribute to that process. I love those things. So all that is the same kind of love. If you love those cookies, this is a kind of love we're talking about right now. This kind of love, something does something for me that I like. Like right now, your taste buds are like probably like enjoying something, right? I love that. It's doing something for you that you like, or somebody makes you feel a certain way, and you love to feel that way. Those are things we love. There's more cookies left. Okay, if you're starving later on, you can make your way to the front. It's not communion. It's just cookies. Just cookies. So there's actually another kind of love that's almost opposite of that kind. First kind of love gives me something. I love that. I love what it gives me. I love that thing. Second kind of love gives away something. It really is the opposite. I love you. It's different. Second kind of love makes an appearance, for example, when a brand new mom has a baby girl. And they come home from the hospital, and that mom loves that baby girl in a very different way than the way I love chocolate chip cookies. It's really different. I mean, that baby's crying in the night, and she's up with that baby. She's feeding that baby, changing that baby, rocking that baby. Whatever she needs to do, she is serving that baby. It's all at 3 o'clock in the morning, night after night after night. Some of you have been through that. You've done that. You understand. You are loving that child. That's not the same as I love chocolate chip cookies, is it? You got bags under the eyes after a couple weeks of that. You're stumbling around. It's a different kind of love. The second kind of love shows up most often as sacrifice. I'm given something. It's costing me something. Now, 2 days ago, I officiated at a wedding. Young couple, probably none of you know who they are, a connection from Solo Labs where I'm a chaplain. They're in their 20s and they love each other. They want to start a family. So they got married this weekend. Which kind of love do you think they have for each other? The first kind, I love chocolate chip cookies, or the second time, little baby girl up at 3 a.m. Which kind of love do they have for each other? Starting off a marriage. Was that both? Absolutely. Absolutely. It would be nice if it was primarily the second kind, and I'm sure there is some of that in there, but most of the time when a young couple gets married, they actually have more of the first kind of love than the second. I love how you make me feel. I love having someone who loves me. I want to keep this going as long as possible. I mean, that's most of us, and I'm speaking from experience. That's how Ann and I started our marriage 25 years ago. We're no different from anybody else. I really thought, I was at seminary, I've been a Christian for a long time, I was convinced I love my wife with the second kind of love. But I had a lot more of the first kind of love in me than I realized. And that's why couples are so likely to fight and argue and have conflict, because they're living out of the first kind of love. Your chocolate chip cookies aren't any good anymore. What you're doing for me isn't what I wanted. Like, right? This is first kind of love, and we don't realize it, but we're having conflict and we're fighting. We don't understand, but I got the first kind of love, not the second. Does that make sense? Anybody recognizing, yeah, I think I've seen that. Now, let's not leave the singles out. There's some folks that are single. Think about this. Singles who really want to be in a relationship, it's not a bad thing to want, right? I mean, that's okay. But how much of that is actually about the first kind of love, and how much is actually about the second kind? You can ponder that, chew on that for a minute. Now let me ask you this. God's love for us, what kind is it? First kind? Second kind. Second kind, right? Absolutely second kind. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, right? Second kind, very clearly. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's not give me another chocolate chip cookie. That's nail me to a cross and I'll die for you. That's second kind of love, right? Pretty clear. Sacrifice, major sacrifice. So when Jesus did that, did he get anything out of it when he was nailed to a cross, bled out and died? Did he get anything out of it? Oh, trick question, did he get anything out of it? He actually did. And you might look at yourself and be like, he didn't get much. But he did get something out of it. He got what he wanted out of it. He got a relationship with us, and he really, really wanted that. So God's kind of love, it does start out as the second kind of love. It is sacrificial, but it does also result in personal gain. And when we love with the second kind of love, we get personal gain too. So why are we talking about this? Because in Ephesians chapter 5, we are called to live a life of love. And I think it's pretty important we understand what kind of love is God inviting us into. So a little bit of review where we've been. We talked about 5 relational commitments in chapter 4. You remember those things? I'm going to be honest. I'm going to deal with today's problems today. I'm going to be generous with myself. I'm going to use words that build up. Some of these things are really hard. I'm going to respond to people through God's kindness toward me rather than their offenses against me. I'm going to respond that way because God treated me better than I deserve. I can treat other people better than they deserve. All of that stuff we talked about in chapter 4, he's going to just condense this all into one power statement right here, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5. It's all condensed into one statement. Look at it in your Bibles. Look at it up on the screen. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Here's what he says. After all those things about relationships and how to do them, how not to do it. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Hear it again. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I'm going to tell you what. The truth and beauty captured in those two verses have the potential of carrying you through your entire life. These 34 words, count them if you want, they can fill you with supernatural strength to carry you through just about any challenge you're going to face. And they offer divine guidance showing you what to do in those challenges. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It's the only passage we're looking at today. Two verses. And break it down. There's three things in these two verses. There's a who, there's a what, and there's a how. There's a who, a what, and a how. Start with a who. Who is this about? Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Who's the who? Dearly loved children, right? If you're taking notes, you can write this down. If you're not taking notes, remember it. Dearly loved children is the. This is an identity statement. This is about us. It's who we are. Dearly loved children. Remember, the book of Ephesians is written to the saints in Ephesus, to the believers, the followers of Jesus. This is about followers of Jesus. We can't say everybody's a dearly loved child of God. Those who are followers of Jesus, who've surrendered themselves to him, who've put their faith in Jesus, they've been brought from death to life. It's we who are dearly loved. Not just the believers in Ephesus. This was meant to be spread out and shared. This was supposed to go around, and it came to us. And we are these people. We are dearly loved children of God without question. Dearly loved. What's the difference between loved and dearly loved? I chewed on that for a little bit. It's a difference of degree, right? Loved and dearly loved. It's a degree. There's a higher degree, right? And it's seen in the extent of sacrifice I'm willing to make. And I'll give you a comparative example. Many years ago, I got to spend 6 weeks in Zambia, Africa. 6 weeks. It was a pretty cool experience. I got to work with a whole bunch of kids. We'd play games like football. That's soccer, only they use plastic Walmart bags wrapped up and tied together, and that was their soccer ball. So we played a lot of soccer. We hung out together. We just spent time together, and I got to share Jesus with them. I love those kids. But did I dearly love them? I don't remember any of their names anymore. I remember Eustace. He was a young adult. He came to faith in Jesus. I got to lead him to Christ. I remember Eustace. I don't remember anybody else's name. Compare that with my friend Pastor Scott from New Life Bible Fellowship. I got permission to share this. He also traveled to another country recently, but his goal was a lot different. He wasn't on a short-term missions trip. He was on an adoption trip. Scott and his wife took 3 trips to Kyrgyzstan. I don't even know where that is. 3 trips to Kyrgyzstan so they could adopt 2 kids who didn't have a home, so they could provide them one. He told me the process took 5 years and a lot of money. Those kids are dearly loved. And what did God do for us? He took a really long trip. He made a really big sacrifice. You and I
are not just loved. We are dearly loved. So as dearly loved children, what are our instructions? Right? This is the what. Who? Dearly loved children. What? The what comes in two parts, and one explains the other. The first part is really big umbrella statement. What does he say? Be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. That is quite a statement if you think about it. Okay, that sounds hard. Be imitators of God? Are you serious? There's a whole lot of ways we are not capable of doing it. And in seminary language, they would call these things the incommunicable attributes of God. Incommunicable. I cannot communicate them. I cannot repeat these. The three omnis are an example. You know what the three omnis are? Omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. Yeah, omnipresent. Cannot do that. I will never be capable of being everywhere at the same time. That's actually a good thing. Don't bother trying. You'll never be omnipresent. Even in heaven, you will not be omnipresent. Omniscient, all-knowing. I will never possess all knowledge. I'm limited by design, and I think that's probably a good thing. Can you imagine if every one of us had omniscience? That would be horrible. There are movies about that. I don't recommend them necessarily, but they're out there. That would be horrible. Some days I can't even handle the tiny bit of knowledge I have. The world would go into meltdown if we were all omniscient. We're not designed for omniscience. Incommunicable. And how about omnipotence? Man, some of us feel powerful, especially young kids, young boys, teenagers, like invincible. Watch some video strings on YouTube or Facebook. There's some people that think they're omnipotent. They are not. A lot of times those videos show that they are not. Guys, we'll never be all-powerful like God. Able to create a universe by speaking it into existence, that is omnipotence. Not riding a motorcycle up a mountain and getting to the top. No. We can't do it. And it's a good thing. We can't handle that. These are incommunicable attributes of God. Be imitators of God. He's not talking about that. There are communicable attributes. And that means things that we can imitate. We can do these things. For example, the justice of God. God is just, right? He does what is right and fair. We can imitate that. We can reflect that. We'll never be the ultimate judge. Absolutely not. But we can act justly. We can do what is right and fair. How about mercy? Showing undeserved kindness. This is a communicable attribute. We can do this. Having received mercy from God, we can reflect mercy toward others. This is supposed to be a communicable attribute. Humility. Considering others' needs more important than my own. Did Jesus show humility? My goodness. Philippians 2. If he can consider rebellious people like us better than himself, that's what it says, and serve us at such incredible sacrifice to himself, I think we can do the same kind of thing. We can consider ourselves lower than other people and serve them sacrificially in love. Communicable attributes we can imitate. He says, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. The original Greek language, the word be, just a little two-letter word, it actually could mean become. Like the verb could be translated as a process. Become imitators of God, because this is a process, right? We're in process of becoming better imitators of God. So don't feel like this is impossible. This is a process God wants to work in us. And we want to, right? We want to imitate God in these things. Sometimes we don't. We struggle. We beat our head against the wall. We wish we could do better. We want to imitate. Knowing how dearly loved we are, it becomes natural to want to imitate the good Father who we have, the one who loves us so much. So imitation is actually designed into us as well. And if you have kids, you might know this. I have permission to share this example. Ethan was about 2 years old. He's downstairs right now. He was about 2 years old. We gave him a plastic tool set so he could have his own tools, just like Daddy. I've always been the handy type. I can change a light bulb like nobody else. You laugh when I say I've always been the handy type. You know me too well. Truth be told, I'm better at breaking things than fixing them. And then they stay broken because I don't know how to fix them. It drives my family crazy. I had to call my dad to get the downstairs fluorescent bulb changed because it just was flickering all the time and I was doing nothing about it. Anyway, this illustration is about Ethan, not me. Two-year-old Ethan gets his battery-powered electric plastic cordless drill. It's not designed to do anything, but when you pull the trigger, the end spins. This plastic nub. So, pretty cool. He loved it. He was excited. And he got right to work. Said, I'm going to use this drill. Just like Daddy. We weren't watching. He decided the wall needed some drilling. So, at this height, we were nowhere to be seen. He finds the wall and just leans up against it, starts drilling. We have a plaster lath house, okay? He drilled right through that stuff. He had a golf ball size hole by the time we found out he was doing anything, and he had drilled a hole in our house. He was so proud of himself. Mama was not excited. It was right at the front door. It was like right there. Man, all with his handy dandy plastic drill. Ethan the handyman, just like Daddy. Now you tell me, was that an act of rebellion? Not even. That was an act of imitation. He saw me do stuff like that. Side note, be careful that you don't discipline your kids for imitating you. They may imitate you, and that when you discipline them for that, that's really confusing. They're going to be imitators. They're going to imitate your words. They're going to imitate your actions. They're going to imitate your habits. They are imitators. So don't discipline them if that's what they're doing. You're their model. They will imitate you. All right, that's enough conviction about that for now, right? Like, oh, okay, that's hard. Ephesians 5 reminds us, we've got a model too. We have a model too. Our Father is the one we're supposed to imitate. We are called to imitate him. We are his dearly loved children. So what does it mean to imitate him? Right? We talked about so the first part of the what says become imitators of God. Be imitators of God as dearly loved children and live a life of love. This is where he clarifies, what do I mean by be imitators of God? Live a life of love. This is the moral character quality he's calling us to imitate, a life of love. And this is where those two types of love become really important. When he says live a life of love, okay, we're not talking about the first type of love, right? We're talking about the second. Because, I mean, the first type of love, you and I exited the birth canal on day one, masters of type one. We did. I love to feel good. I love to get what I want. I love to be rocked to sleep. I love to eat on demand. I love to have your individual attention, especially when you want to pay attention to something else. We got that down from birth. And we grow up and that love expands. That love expands. I love staying up late. I love sleeping in. I love having friends over. I love chocolate chip cookies. I love eating whatever I want. I love having a boyfriend. I love this relationship. Let's get married. I love you. It's all first type of love. And if that's the kind of love God's calling us to here, that's a snap. Already there. Just another way of saying live to make yourself happy. We've already got that down. That is not the kind of love we're being called to. Because that would not be imitating God's kind of love, would it? Be imitators of God as dearly loved children. So who? Dearly loved children. What? Be imitators of God by living a life of love. Now it's time for the how. How do we do this? Look at the verse. Just as Christ loved us. We are called to love others like Jesus loved us. So how did he love us? It's Not really a hard question, right? We know. What does it say? He gave himself up for us. This is how he loved us. He gave himself up for us. It was a willing sacrifice, right? He wasn't forced to do that. He was a willing sacrifice. And what was his willing sacrifice like? Let's just go back and think about it. What did Jesus do in giving himself up for us? Jesus, Son of God, handed himself over to a mob of power-hungry men who turned his flesh to ribbons before finally snuffing out his life the most brutal way they knew how. Were they trustworthy people to hand himself over to? Oh my goodness. Or you could look at it this way. Jesus turned himself over to a bloodthirsty horde of snarling demons, eager to kill the Son of God and gain control over the world and humankind. Yes, really. You think there wasn't a spiritual battle going on when Jesus was nailed to the cross? Don't think for a minute that that's the case. Yes, it was Jews and Romans who pinned him to the cross, but there was a spiritual battle raging in the heavenly realms that no human could see. And how do I know that? Look what Jesus said before he went to the cross. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? A legion is a lot. Numerically, exactly, scientifically, it's a lot. I could send a gajillion angels to just wipe out, obliterate the entire population around the cross, take my son back home, but I'm not going to do it. There was a spiritual battle raging. The angels were ready, and he said, hold your fire. Let them go. I'm giving myself over. And they did their worst. Willing sacrifice. Jesus' love didn't just give up the last cookie. Jesus' love didn't just stay up late and give up a night's sleep or two nights or three nights or four nights' sleep. Jesus' love, he took off his crown, right? He stripped off his majestic glory. He told the angels to hold their fire. And he allowed his own creation to turn on him in the most treasonable way imaginable. Jesus literally gave himself up for us. But it wasn't only for us. It was for somebody else too. And our passage tells us it was also for his Father. This is really neat. As I was studying, just staying in these two verses, it was really, really fascinating to see this. Look at the verse. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The same act is both for us and to God. Jesus' love is two things at the same time. It is a willing sacrifice for us. Willing means it was his choice. He chose to do this. And a fragrant offering to God. Fragrant means it smells good. Like when you're grilling meat on the barbecue and the aroma fills up, or your neighbor is grilling and you smell it, right? Jesus' sacrifice brought pleasure to God. He was pleased with this. His death was a sacrificial act of love that flowed in two directions. It was for us. We were in desperate need. We could not be forgiven without him. We could not have a relationship with God without this. It was for us. And it pleased the Father. It brought honor to him. It brought unspeakable joy to him. And now, since we have been told here to imitate God as his dearly loved children by living a life of love, and since Jesus' love toward us actually goes in two directions at the same time, toward us and toward the Father, I think it's safe to say our love does the same thing. So let's put it this way. Living a life of love, second kind of love, right? It means this. I make willing sacrifices for others. which become fragrant offerings to God when they are motivated by love. I make willing sacrifices for others, which become fragrant offerings to God when they're motivated by love. Might be worth chewing on that. When my sacrifices are motivated by love, both of those things are happening at the same time. People are blessed. God is pleased. So getting real, getting down into the nuts and bolts of it, when Alicia and AJ open up their house again for home group, again and again and again and again, their sacrifice for others is also a fragrant offering to God. When Pastor Scott and his wife fly across the world to bring home a child who has no home, their loving sacrifice for that child is also a fragrant offering to God. I didn't get permission about this one, but when my wife goes to Solo Labs every day, 4 days a week, and gives her entire paycheck to our kids' college expenses, every single week, year after year, there's no end in sight. That sacrifice for them is also a fragrant offering to God. When that new mom is cleaning up her baby's fourth blowout of the day, somehow that's a fragrant aroma to God. I'm wearing my Coast Sound Strong shirt today. Maybe you noticed, like, why is he wearing that? This is part of my life of love. I'm serving my community by being involved in an organization like this. Live a life of love. When our sacrifices are motivated by love, not only are we giving our love to others who may or may not deserve it, we're also giving a sweet-smelling offering to God. And we have it in us to do this because we are dearly loved children. He has poured his love into us. If you're not a child of God, you don't have it in you. You can try and you can work and you can do some. But as children of God, we can live this way. Not perfectly, but we can do this. So here's how spiritual growth works. As our relationship with God matures, our love transitions from the first kind to the second kind, right? And as our love transitions from the first kind, which is really just loving ourselves, to the second kind, which is sacrificially loving others, we become imitators of God. Are you seeing that? Does that make sense? Are you with me? This is how it works. And as we become imitators of God, guess what else happens? Our relationships take on a whole new level of health and maturity. When I love what my wife does for me, and she loves what I do for her, what happens when we stop doing it? We got problems. I'm not loving this anymore. You're not giving me what I want. Love type one is just, right? But when we both actually move into love type two, I'm loving her sacrificially. She's loving me sacrificially. That thing that would have upset the old me is more readily absorbed by the new, more loving me. And what could have become a relational explosion and did become a relational explosion a couple years ago now becomes another opportunity to show God's kind of love. She doesn't have to deserve it. She does usually, but I don't have to deserve it. It's a good deal. Let me put it this way. Sacrificial love is the good soil of healthy relationships. All right, you guys know what time it is? It's time for a reality check. Time for a reality check, because I think Phil got it right at the very beginning. We got both kinds of love in us, don't we? The newly married couple and the oldly married couple and the single and the child, we have both kinds of love in us. So as having both kinds, we have different quantities of both kinds. We're not all the same. So if you were to evaluate your own heart, how much of it reflects the first kind of love and how much reflects the second? You don't have to share that with each other. I just want you to think about it. Think about this. And a couple of ways to evaluate. Look at your schedule. How do you spend your time? First kind of love, second kind of love. How about your money? How do you spend your money? First kind of love, this is to serve me. Second kind of love, this is to serve others. How about your attitude? Are you easily irritated, frustrated, angry? Think that comes from the first kind of love or the second kind of love? Not a hard question, right? Or are you driven to compassion? Easily stirred to compassion towards somebody else. You got a long fuse. You're not easily angered. That's a sign of second kind of love, right? So all these things kind of help reveal whether we're still functioning out of the first kind of love or growing into the second, because none of us are done growing in this. None of us. I don't care if you're 95 years old, you've been following Jesus since you were 5. 90 years following Jesus, you still have both kinds in you. That's how it works till we get there. I'm not done growing this. I still have a good bit of first kind of love in me. You can ask my family. I give you permission. You can ask them if you want. But very slowly, over years and years and years, God is putting that second kind of love into me. It's happening. I can see it. And I will tell you what. The sacrifices that on the surface may look like a loss, changing that diaper, giving that money away when you could have done something else with it, whatever those, giving up that sleep, all those sacrifices, those things bring more gain than anything you possibly can gain for yourself with the first kind of love. Really. Like, I could go bungee jumping every day, jump out of airplanes, climb up mountains. Like, I like to do that stuff. Making sacrifices for others leads to more gain than whatever you do for yourself. Jesus gave himself up for us. Was Jesus' sacrifice worth it? One person nods yes. Whoa, okay, you must all be fast asleep, right? Was Jesus' sacrifice worth it? Yes! Guess what? Your sacrifices are worth it too. You are carrying on what Jesus started. We are called to live this way as a way to continue the life that Jesus started. His sacrifice paid the penalty for my sin. I can't make sacrifices that pay the penalty for your sin. I can't do that. Jesus did that. That's enough. But my sacrifices reveal the kind of love God has for us and models the kind of God who loves us. Your sacrifices of love are worth it too. And I know there are times you feel like it's not. They don't even know that I'm doing it. They don't even care, especially with babies, right? But not just with babies. Even when that person you're sacrificing for doesn't seem to notice or care, it matters. Because remember, it's going two directions. And how much does God miss? Omniscient, right? He doesn't miss a beat. God sees every sacrifice you make, every act of genuine love, and every one of those matters to him. He collects those things. That's a treasure to him. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us, gave himself up for us, and as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. In 2 weeks, Ann and I are going to be driving our daughter Karis down to Georgia, where she's going to start this world race gap year. 9 months of living a life of love. Like, that is an entire, just a commitment. I'm going to be serving other people. I'm going to be awkward, uncomfortable, in outside of my comfort zone. I'm going to do that for 9 months. But I also want to think about me. We're driving her to Georgia. We could have bought her a plane ticket. We didn't buy her a plane ticket. Would have saved a lot of time. Would have saved a lot of time, a lot of money. But we're going to drive her to Georgia. Why would we do that? because we love her. We want to see her off. We want to do that. So is that a sacrifice? Yes. 12-hour drive down, 12-hour drive back. But I can already tell you, I know this. That sacrifice will be a gain for us. Live a life of love. I use a lot of family examples. We could talk about living a life of love towards strangers too, but I use family examples because it starts there, and sometimes it's hardest there. We want this kind of thing to ripple out and spread and touch other people too. But if we're not doing it at home, we can't do it anywhere else. It starts at home. Sometimes it's hardest at home. So one more time, be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You know, that could make a great morning prayer, couldn't it? Those two verses, what a great way to start the day. Remembering God pouring himself into us, remembering our calling, great way to start the day. So where is God pointing your heart as you think about these verses? This high, high calling that we've been given. What is he calling you to? He's called us to live a life of love, but how for you? Maybe there's a specific person he's calling you to serve and love. Maybe there's an attitude in you that he wants to change. What is your next step? Because this is a journey, right? It's not all of a sudden, boom, I'm now a perfect imitator of God. It's step by step. You're at a spot right now. What's the next step for you to grow in living a life of love, to be an imitator of God? I'll give you some options, things you could think about. One, you got to receive God's love for you. If you haven't received it, you don't have it to give. So you got to believe God's word teaches us that through faith in Jesus, I became a dearly loved child of God. Receive that. Maybe you got to make a declaration. I'm going to declare that my loving Heavenly Father is the one I most want to imitate. I'm an imitator and I want to imitate him. So I want to spend time getting to know him. I want to listen to him. Maybe I want to memorize Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Make it a regular part of your prayers. God, help me live a life of love. Help me be an imitator of you. You gave yourself for me. I want to imitate you. Or maybe there's something real specific. There's something you are convinced God wants you to sacrificially love. And there's some kind of concrete step you can take to actively love that person this week. What's your next step? It could just be one, but what's your next step? Pray together. God, what we're talking about is not easy stuff, but it is good. And you do promise to help us, to be our strength. So Lord, I pray that you'll work in each one of our hearts and just come along us in encouragement and strength and help that we can reflect your love just a little bit better. Thanks for your patience with us. You are good. And we have a lot to be thankful for. In Jesus' name, amen. Forgot, I'm not playing my guitar this time. We are going to
sing a song that's a response to God, right? Worship is loving back the one who loved us. So we're going to sing this song called Gratitude. Will you rise to your feet and sing with us?
Hallelujah.
but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah means praise to Yahweh, the great I Am, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Master of the universe. And he gave up his son so we could be rescued. What love. Father, we worship you. We worship the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the Trinity, three in one. We love you because you first loved us. So God, let these truths sink deep, deep within us. We struggle, God. We're a mixed bag of good motives and bad motives, and we trip up and we stumble. You keep loving us. You do. You never give up. You never turn your back. So God, we rest in that today. Help us to imitate you in all the ways that we've been designed, and to not even try in the ways we've not been designed. Thank you for your great patience, your great mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You can have a seat. Couple of things that you're going to want to know about. The first one, I think there's a slide for this. Church at the Park is next week. 7 days from today. Don't be here at 9. Be there at 10. You get an extra hours, like daylight savings time in the middle of the year. So 10 o'clock, there's going to be children's ministry for preschool and below. If your kids are in elementary, they're going to stay in the service. We have a lot more people coming, and those in charge of children's ministry said, let's just do preschool and below. So nursery, preschool, that's going to be ready to roll. And above that, stay in the service. That's the plan. There's going to be a barbecue picnic afterwards, free again. If you were at the last one, it was good. It's going to be similar to that. I think it's chicken this time, but the barbecue is going to be free. Everything's provided. Churches are helping to pay for it. All that's done. So stick around, eat lunch afterwards, hang out with three other churches. Maybe you'll get to know somebody, maybe hang out with each other, but we love to make this display that we are one church. This is a community of one church, one Savior, Jesus. We worship the same God, and we can come together sometimes and worship. So we're probably going to do it again next summer, but this is our last Church at the Park for this summer. There's also a ladies' event coming up, which I will not be there, I promise. But September 7th, ladies' fire campfire. So plan on that if you are a lady. And what's the age for that? Or can younger girls, like, is there an age limit on that? No age limit. So younger, the little ladies can come too. Okay. So that's coming up on the same day. You may not know about this. What do I hear? This is wonderful. Okay. All right. That was only slightly distracting. Same day, there is going to be a church work day. So maybe the men go to the work day, the ladies go to the campfire at different times, but we're going to have a work day. We're going to trim the bushes around here. We're going to pull the weeds, trim some of the trees, I think, over here. Just kind of spruce the place up for next season of Oasis. Kids will be coming in 3 days a week, and we like to make it look nice for us too, right? So maybe second kind of love. This is an opportunity, September 7th from 9 to noon. You'll get more information about that in the near future, but if you like to help out in that way and can help on that side, that'd be great. Phil and Morgan's wedding is coming up. Thank you. I just want to say thank you, all of you who are helping with the food. Like, I think the sign-up sheet is pretty full right now. So now we're just excited to celebrate with them. So that's this weekend. Looking forward to that. Home groups are this week. Join in and join the discussion of what we just talked about today. Connection cards, if you got things you want prayer for, whether it's a prayer team or just myself or a leadership team, you can share that with us, put it in the offering box. And other than that, there are snacks downstairs, refreshments. We'll bring some of these cookies down too, so there's extra refreshments downstairs. So enjoy your day. Hope you have a great day. Hope you walk out of here encouraged today. Have a great day.